spirit of reconciliation, I acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island peoples today. Welcome to Totally Lit, the podcast celebrating reading, writing and creating literature. I'm your host, Kai Garvey. Thank you for listening. Hi everyone, this episode I have the amazing Megan Daly to chat about her picture book release, The Beehive. Megan is a teacher librarian and has been awarded the ASLA Australian Teacher Librarian of the Year 2023 and the SLAQ Queensland Teacher Librarian of the Year, as well as the National Drumkeen Librarians Award. Megan is the author of the best-selling book Raising Readers, as well as Teacher Teacher and The Beehive. A former National Vice President of the Children's Book Council of Australia, Megan is also a speaker, regular literary judge, festival curator and co-host of Your Kids Next Read podcast. Through her writing and speaking engagements, Megan inspires parents and caregivers, educators and librarians to nurture a lifelong love of reading. Megan Daly, welcome to Totally Lit.
Thank you so much for having me. So excited to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me and my listeners today. I'm really pleased to have you and to pin you down. We've been going back and forth trying to find a time when we can both chat, but I really appreciate your time today. I'm very excited to hear about your latest release,
The Beehive,
because I'm thinking of your character and going, the beekeeper.
Yeah.
Now, that's your latest picture book. Could you mm-hmm. share a little bit about it with me?
Yeah. So, look, it's just come out. It's with Walker Books. It's illustrated by the wonderful Max Hamilton, who I've never met, but I'm super excited to meet at the Sydney book launch that we're having. And, look, let me give you my elevator pitch. Alison Tate has schooled me in the importance of an elevator pitch mm-hmm. about your book, and this is mine. So The Beehive is a part of the Nature Storybooks range from Walker Books, and it's a narrative nonfiction, which is probably my favourite style of writing, combining a narrative with nonfiction information. And the narrative tells the story of Willow, who is a young girl who's super keen on native bees, and she has native bees at her school, and she trails around after groundskeeper Tom talking to him about native bees, and she's super excited because this year there's enough native bees in their school community that they're able to split their bees and she's going to be able to take one of the hives home. Her stepfather is a beekeeper as well, and he helps her, and they're involved in the school nature club. So that's essentially this narrative side of the story. And then the nonfiction information is all facts about our nearly 2,000 varieties of Australian native bees, which not many people know about. I guess I saw a little bit of a gap in the market where there was lots of books about bees. Bees appear to be very hot property, you know, interesting, cool.
They're having a resurgence.
They're having a moment. They're having a moment. And so I wanted to really celebrate our Australian native bees.
Amazing. And this is your first picture book, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's my first picture book. I've written a nonfiction book for adults raising readers in the past. And then I edited last year a book called Teacher Teacher, which is stories of educators from primary to secondary school. But this is my first picture book, a most unexpected development in my writerly life, I have to say.
And how are you enjoying the kidlit author experience?
Oh, it's really, really, I am having enormous imposter syndrome, and I'm going to have to ban Alison Tate from listening to this episode because she doesn't like me saying that, but I have enormous imposter syndrome. I feel, I don't feel worthy to sit amongst all of those people who are established in the kid lit space. I've always been a reviewer of children's books, and I call myself a pusher of children's books. I'm a teacher librarian, so I push other people's children's books. To now have my own children's books is a really surreal experience, and I'm not quite sure yet that I'm 100% comfortable with it, so I'm working on that.
So much fun. I have loved my experience. And yeah, I'm pleased to hear that it's been going well for you. You have had a Brisbane launch, and what was happening with your Sydney launch? Would you like to
Yeah, so
share
I
when that
had
is?
100 people at my Brisbane launch, and I believe there's are going to be around the same number at the Sydney launch. It happens to be the same weekend as the Taylor Swift concert in Sydney, so who knows how that will go. But I'm really excited to be meeting Max Hamilton at that launch, and it's at Glee Books. And like with the Brisbane launch, there's going to be lots of activities for young children, and there's going to be lots of information sharing for the kidlit community and parents and maybe educators and amateur beekeepers or commercial beekeepers who are in the audience. So I kind of hope there's enough that will keep everybody really entertained and engaged, because I love a book launch which speaks to the children and to the authors and the writers in the room.
Can you tell me a bit of your experience of the submission process of
Yeah.
your book?
Okay, this is a very interesting process. So many years, about 5 or 6 years ago, I did a innovation on another Nature Storybooks text from Walker Books with a year one and a year two class at my previous school. And I wrote them a story about our native bees. I posted that story on my social media. And at the time, I also thought, oh, gosh, they really should do one on native bees. So I emailed the then publicity manager at Walker Books, who I knew quite well, and she'd seen it on my social media as well, and she was like, yeah, it's a great idea, you could do that. And I was like, yeah, probably not. And they asked, they then asked to see my what I'd done for my classes at school, and it went from there. So it wasn't a traditional submission process in the slightest. I was like, hey, you guys should do this. And they were like, you could do that. So I've been very lucky, I guess, in that respect, that with actually all of my books, I've been asked to do them rather than me having to approach the publishers. In some ways, I like that because I am really busy. I've got 4 kids and a really complex life and so much, and I work and rah, rah, rah. So I don't necessarily have ideas popping up all the time in my head. And I love it when a publisher comes to me and says, we've got a gap in the market here. Do you think you could do something? And then all of a sudden I'm like, 100% I can do that. And then my creative brain starts firing and I don't sleep for weeks on end. And I'm up all hours of the night writing. And I think, yeah, that's when I get really excited about something, when somebody presents me with an idea, because I don't have I don't have an enormous amount of time in my life.
And do you find your work as a teacher librarian helped you write the book in terms of, did you think, I know what kids like to read?
That's a really good and interesting question, because I have worked with a number of teachers over the years who, and everybody does have a story in them, but I have worked with teachers who've felt they would love to write a children's story because they've read so many children's stories. But actually, in some ways, for me, it's been a disadvantage because it is that imposter syndrome. I look at the work of people like Jane Godwin, and I just think, well, I could never do that. I could never write like Jane Godwin or Alison Lester. I can't do that. I've always been in awe of picture book authors in particular. It's such a skill, as you know, it's so hard to write a picture book. In fact, I think it's almost been a hindrance for me. I've always thought, no, that's for other people. I just push the books onto small children and I review the books. So it's been quite difficult for me to step out of the teacher librarian role and put on an authorly hat, because my other issue is I'm always thinking as an educator about how do I educate children, whereas the whole purpose of a picture book is to entertain a child and engage a child and speak to them on a heart and soul level. Whereas and my own 4 children will attest to this, I have a lesson in everything I say. And my partner often has to say to me, okay, teacher hat off, just be mum right now. And so I've had to take off my my educator hat, really, and put on a different hat and a different role and play a different role and go, no, I'm writing a book to entertain. But also, I think that's why I do like narrative nonfiction. I do still have that opportunity to educate. So, no, I actually think it's been a bit of a hindrance being a teacher librarian.
And how have your family received the book? Are the kids impressed?
You've got children, Kaya. You're No, I mean, the main character is called Willow after my middle daughter, and I still don't think she's read the book. She's 12 now, and the book was essentially written about her. She tells me she's read it, but no, my children have 100% zero interest in anything I've written. They are all readers and they all engage with books and enjoy books and love going to book events and literature festivals. But as for my books, they're just like, yeah, what would you
Not
know?
impressed. So I have been told, Mum, you haven't solved world peace.
Exactly.
You just wrote a book, which that makes me sound like I'm swanning around going, oh, I've written a book, but I'm like, this book was inspired by
Time.
you.
Yeah, and exactly. When your children are the reason you write and love picture
Yes.
books, and you think, oh, come on, guys, could you not just smile? Like, give me
And
something.
they're mildly interested in the podcast, but only they're like, oh, Mum, if you got Neil Gaiman to be a guest, we might listen.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's a
My
big
16-year-old
challenge.
says, when you're ranking on BookTok, I'll look.
Like, don't you know how hard that is? It's not easy. So I might go back to your very first book. Was that an invitation to write that book as
Yes.
well?
Yes, I've been writing, and I would say for any aspiring authors out there, the blogging space is very crowded these days, but you don't have to do it for anybody else. I wrote a blog for 10 years on essentially what I do in my day job, which is nurturing a love of reading in children. And I started Children's Books Daily when my own children were very young, and I was, just really wanting to share how you nurture a child's love of reading in those early years and then up into the tween and teen years. I blogged away. I started speaking at a few events about the importance of nurturing that love of reading, and in particular recreational reading, which is kind of what I love nurturing as a teacher librarian. And Christina Schulz, the then commissioning editor of UQP, attended an event that I was speaking at, and she came up to me at the end and she said, I'd really like to distill everything that you've written in your blog and the way you speak at events into a book. And I just laughed in her face and said, yeah, I don't know where apostrophes go, and I'm like super, super bad with spelling, all kinds of grammar, particularly apostrophes. I use too many exclamation marks. Yeah, you can find somebody else to do that. And we kept having conversations about it, and I kept saying I can't write. And she eventually said to me, "You can write. You've written a successful blog. You've developed your author voice. If I want you to do this." And then a dear friend of mine said, "And if you don't do it, she'll get someone else to do it, and then you'll be annoyed." And so it happened from there, and I feel like Christina Schulz extracted that book from my head, and it became something far bigger than just me. But I am so proud of that work.
Nice work, Megan Daly. You got a publisher to beg you to write a book when
Oh,
usually
look,
it's the other way around.
she probably regrets it, because she now does understand that I just throw apostrophes at a page and hope a few land in the right spot.
Yeah, and not to like, I do believe that writing is a craft, but we do have tools these days to help us. So if
Yes.
you can use Grammarly or Word or
Yeah. And
to
I
help
think
you with those things.
you're very right. I now know, and you've learnt this lesson earlier, obviously, I now know that the most important thing is finding your author voice, not all of the other stuff.
And also writing well in terms of grammar is also very different from writing well if in storytelling.
Yes.
So sometimes people are good at one or the other and not both. Sometimes I'm like, oh, is that apostrophe right? And more because I work at internal comms, it's me wanting to have everything perfect. But then I'll have something like a typo or oh, that apostrophe doesn't belong there. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to get it right.
Yeah. No, it's very different. And you're so right, because I can teach year one and two grammar. Look, I can teach higher than that, I can assure you. But that's because I know the specific rules as such. Oh, they're a little shaky in some areas, hence why I've moved out of classroom teaching. But it is less about making getting every single part of it perfect and more about creating voice first and then worrying about the other stuff later.
And do you have plans for another picture book?
Oh gosh, I haven't actually been asked that yet. Look, if someone comes up with a great idea they want me to do, yeah, I would do that. Again, like I said, for me, it's a matter of time. And I just have so many things I want to do in life. And this book, I guess, has combined my two great loves, bees and books. And I feel like, well, I started at the top. I don't know. Look, I love the Nature Storybook series. I would really love to do another one of those at some point. I have lots of little ideas that flow around in my head at times, but whether or not one of them comes to fruition, I don't know. That's a really tricky question I haven't actually thought about yet.
It's difficult too, because sometimes you have lots of ideas, but you've got to execute them in the right
Oh,
way. Like a picture book,
absolutely.
you can write it and go, oh, that's not, it's just not working the way I thought it would work. I just got to keep honing it and making it what you want it to be. But it sounds like because you have such a love of bees, that it's you've nailed it with this one.
I feel like I've nailed it, and I'm doing lots of bee workshops in schools, combining kind of like an author talk, but also a bit of sustainability nature education. So I'm kind of really enjoying that. And I guess for me personally, I wanted a book I could use about native bees in doing bee workshops, and I've done that now. So it's been great. It's been a great experience.
And because you do work as a teacher librarian during the
Yes.
day,
Yes.
how do you balance being an author, podcaster, speaker, and
Look, I don't
teacher
sleep very
librarian?
much. And despite being a librarian who pushes books on other children, and like I said, my children do read, but there is a fair amount of screen time and outsourcing of my children, I have to admit. And but I hope that I'm developing resilient and independent children who are thinkers and creators and able to find their own way in the world. And we do a lot of beekeeping and so forth together. But I balance not particularly well. I have this year got a job share partner, which has been the best thing ever for me. And I'm super excited about how that's going to work because it's given me a day to focus on school visits and going to literature festivals and just having that space for my brain to go, okay, today I'm not a teacher librarian and I'm not a mum of four kids. Today this is author Megan, and what does that look like? So I'm really excited to see how that progresses. I also try once a semester to go away with my dad to a really, really boring place with no Wi-Fi. It costs us $25 a night. We don't talk. We just come together, eat, have multiple coffees, and then go back to our little cabins and work. We go away for a weekend, once a semester, and we just literally write our little hearts out. My dad is a retired academic in criminology and writes a bit of crime fiction on the side, and I'm encouraging him to write his memoirs. So we do that a couple of times a year as well, and I love that. That weekend is really important to me.
Love the sound of that. I'm trying to encourage my dad to write. Dad, if you're listening to this.
It's really important, and it's been really nice being a part of Dad's writing process and him seeing my author journey, but just also being able to come together on that weekend and write together. And like I said, it's so funny because we don't actually talk, whereas normally we would talk all the time. We don't invite my mother or my partner because they would talk to us and they get like really like, how come we're not invited? And we're like, no, because we're working, and we're very happy to stay up until midnight and get up again the next morning at 6 o'clock and just work for 12 hours a day, more probably, a lot more. And just write and eat occasionally to sustain life and creative thoughts. And it's fantastic.
That sounds amazing. Living the dream. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions that I ask all my guests, which are quick fire questions, just so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better. What was your favorite book growing up?
Definitely Little Cloud and Mean Mountain, which my dad read to me multiple times, and I stole from the childhood home because I'm the oldest of four, and surely I, get to have it because it was my favorite book.
Oh, so it was a family book,
It
not
was a
just
family
your
book.
book.
No, it was a family book. I stole it. I own it.
It's yours now.
Yeah.
And if you could be any book character, who would it be?
Winnie the Pooh, because I'd like to eat honey all day and get stuck inside, the opening of a door because I've eaten too much honey.
I
That
didn't.
appeals to
I
me
was
clinically.
curious. What is the honey like from your hive? Is it good honey?
Okay, so the honey from my native hives is incredibly different to the honey that my partner produces as a commercial beekeeper. Native bee honey is quite tangy. It's more like a syrup than a honey. It's more to maybe the consistency of maple syrup, and it's quite tangy because it has resin and sap in it as well as nectar and pollen.
And what would you put it on
Look,
if
you
you were
wouldn't put it
gonna?
on a lot because you don't produce a lot. My partner
Right.
produces several hundred tons of honey a year. From
Oh
my
my
10
goodness.
hives, I produce about 2 cups of honey a year. So it's very sought after honey, native Australian honey, and it's quite expensive, but you produce very, very little of it. So I put it on cheese, I put it on blue cheese, I've put it on the top of ice cream. I have drizzled it over cupcakes, but I wouldn't put it, I feel like it would be wasting it to just put it on my toast, but maybe not. But I have an oversupply of honey in my house, quite clearly.
You don't need any more sweetness at your place. Okay, what have you got on your bedside table at the moment? What are you reading now?
I am reading The Naturalist of Amsterdam, which is an adult book, and I never read adult books, but it's written by a Brisbane author, and it's about insects. And I just, the end papers, just, I was so overwhelmed by the beauty of the end papers. I had to buy this book, and I am loving it. I'm struggling to read an adult book because I don't normally read adult books, but I'm absolutely loving it.
Okay, so and this might be difficult for you because you know so many writers, but if you could invite five literary people to dinner, who would they be?
Alison Tait and Alison Rushby, who I run Your Kids Next Read with,
Well,
Jane
you get to
Godwin.
have them all the
No, I don't. I never
time.
see them. I literally never see them.
That's
I see
true.
them once a year. So I'd invite them. I'd invite Jane Godwin because the woman is just a goddess of the kid lit industry in Australia. I would invite A.A. Milne, even though he is long deceased. And I would probably invite Nat Amor for the laughs because she's just such
Yes.
a delightful human to be around. And I feel like we would all get a bit intense, and Nat would bring the fun and the energy.
I saw her at, I think it was a BSAB dinner. And she was so full of energy and life. And I was like, oh, I would love to be like that. But
We all want to be Nat.
everybody wants to be Nat. Okay, a very important question. Which Hogwarts house are you?
Oh gosh, that is a hard one. Gryffindor.
Gryffindor? Yeah, I like Gryffindor. I'm technically a Hufflepuff.
I think I'm technically a Hufflepuff, but look, I can make the sorting hat go anyway, depending on how I'm feeling.
Now, I'm not sure if this qu how this question will work because it sounds like some of your journey may not, your writing has been on invitation. So I'm going to ask you, what advice would you give yourself going back to the beginning of your writing journey?
Yeah, no, I can definitely. My advice would be don't worry less about the technicalities of writing and just put more of yourself into it because I really struggled with raising readers. It took me a really long time to pull that book out of my brain, and Christina Schulz had to extract it out really, because I was so concerned about the technicalities and doing everything right, and I just didn't focus on loving the process. And not to be trivial about it at all, but my husband died just after I got the contract with UQP for Raising Readers, so that obviously was also incredibly why the process was slowed down. But in fact, writing gave me the opportunity to take myself out of the grief space and into a space I felt very comfortable, safe, and loved in, and a space that I loved being in. But I really wish I just focused more on, the enjoyment of the process rather than worrying about the technicalities, because I now know that the technicalities can be sorted out later.
I think that's one thing we all miss out on a little bit is enjoying the ride. It's such a you never know what's going to happen with riding. Like you can be a
No.
really good rider and submit, nothing happens, and then all of a
Absolutely.
sudden, zoom, it all happens.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so it can be a really frustrating process as well, can't it? For all of those reasons that you've just said, it feels like nothing is happening. And then all of a sudden, an opportunity presents itself, and you kind of just have to be ready for that. But I think, yeah, really enjoying the process is super, super important.
And I think also all writers are not very good at just accepting their talent either.
Yes.
Like it's it's difficult to put yourself out there and go, oh, I did a good job of this, and then saying thank you when people say to you, yes, you did do a good job of this. And it's like, oh no, I just wrote, I do this all the time, whereas I just wrote a picture book and sort of, and I'm like, no, stop doing that because it was actually really hard.
Yeah, no, Alison Tate's really trying to pretty much bash that out of me, that idea that I don't belong in this space. It's a tricky one. We all doubt ourselves, don't we?
We do. And I think that, the message to authors out there is just, own it and do
Absolutely.
it. So where can we find the Beehive if we would like to get a copy?
Oh, look, it'll be in all good independent bookstores. It will be online, and you can. I have a podcast as well, and our podcast website has links to purchase the book online. But I would encourage you to support your local independent bookstore wherever you might live in Australia or internationally listening to this. And interestingly, I've seen it popping up in a couple of gift shops and nurseries, because it is
Oh, yay.
interestingly that segue between a non-fiction and a fiction book. And I was absolutely stoked to see it in a nursery the other day. I was like, that was a life goal, I would say, for me. So yeah, that was cool.
Is that outside the box thinking from the Walker Books team? Is that
No,
how that's happened?
that is outside of the box thinking for whoever owned that nursery. And the
Oh.
owner wasn't there, and I wanted to say to them, oh my gosh, look at what you've done, and you've made these connections between nature and books, and I'm so proud of you. But the poor lady selling the stuff behind the counter had no idea about any of that. So, but I am going to go back and thank them. And I just thought that was really good out of the box thinking, and I was super impressed with that, seeing it in a nursery.
My mum will go into the chemist and see copies of Bluey or and she'll say, you should have my daughter's book in here. And the poor person behind the counter's like, what are you talking
I
about?
actually really love seeing local author and illustrator books around wherever I am. And I recently
Yes.
went into a couple of bookshops at the Gold Coast, and I was super impressed to see some of our Gold Coast creators' books in there. I love seeing local authors' books in local stores.
I always try to take pictures and then send them to my writer friends going, look, I've
Me
spotted you here.
too.
Because yeah, it just is great to see local authors in their own local bookstores. And of course, everywhere. We want your book to be everywhere because we want it to sell. Thank you so much, Megan, for joining me today. It's
Well,
been a
thanks for
pleasure
the
to chat
opportunity. It's been
and
a
to get to
delight
know you
to chat
better
to
as
you.
well,
Yeah.
because I'm like, I know Megan Daly lives in Brisbane and I live in Brisbane, but I've
Why
never
have
met you.
I know we will have to rectify that very, very, very soon. Yeah, there's just so many events to go to, isn't there? And we must be popping up at different ones at different times.
Yes.
But hopefully very soon we will get to meet in person. And again, that's one of the lovely things about the Kid Lit space. I feel like I know people like you very well through online connections and podcasts, but I often haven't met these people in real life. And sometimes I have to think, oh, have I met you in real life or have I not met you?
And the funniest thing is when someone comes up and introduces themselves, and they're like, oh, we actually really kind of know each other, but we've never been in the same place at the same time.
That's right. That's right.
Joys of
That's right.
social media.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you
Fantastic.
so much for having me.
No problem. Thank you, Megan. Totally Lit is an independent podcast. You can help support us to continue to chat with wonderful Australian creatives by leaving a review on iTunes or sharing our socials with your friends. You can also make a contribution at www.buymeacoffee.com/totallylit. This will also help with equipment and podcasting platform fees, etc. I love to interact with our listeners, so feel free to say hello either by email or on social media. You can email me at totallylitpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I've also recently created a group on Facebook called Totally Lit Writing Community. It's a space to continue the conversation and share your writing successes, events, launches, and latest projects. Jump into the group and say hello. Thank you for listening to Totally Lit, and don't forget to go out into the world to read, write, create, ignite.